Carla and Kumar, we're gonna do hedge effectiveness.
Yes.
Paper 11.
Good morning. Agenda paper 11. The Interpretations Committee received a request regarding IFRS 9 asking the committee to clarify how hedge effectiveness should be determined when accounting for net investment hedges. And the issue is the following. The submitter stated that the requirements in IFRS 9 dealing with net investment hedges have a cross-reference to the requirements dealing with the lower up test. And the submitter states that this cross-reference was not in the corresponding paragraph of IS 39 dealing with the accounting for net investment hedges. It also noted that the ISV intention was not to change the requirements, the accounting for net investment hedges in IS 39 when moving to IFRS 9, and therefore it requires clarification because it believes that diversity in application might be continuing. The submission presents two views. The first view is the supporters that think that the lower of tests required for cash flow hedges should not be applying when accounting for net investment hedges. They think that the only similarity between these two transactions would be to recognize the effective portion of the gains and losses arising from the hedging instruments in OCI, and it would not extend to the application of the lower of tests to determining that effective portion. They think that the lower of test has a major purpose or goal, which is to avoid the losses and gains arising from the net, from the hedge items, for example, in forecast transactions, because those items do not exist yet. However, this is not the case of net investment hedges. Therefore, the lower of test should not be applied. Those supporters also think that it is nothing, they don't see anything but in recognizing the translation gains and losses prior to the disposal of the foreign operation, because they think that IS 21 scopes out net investment hedges, and they also think that it does not explicitly prohibit the recognition of those translations gains or losses before the foreign operation is being disposed of. They also think that this view is consistent with US GAAP. And basically, these are all the reasons why these supporters agree with view one. There is a second view, and the second view would be those supporting that the lower of test should be applied. And they think that the lower of test is not, cash flow hedge accounting in general is not only limited to forecast transactions, it also applies to variable interest rate payments arising from recognized financial liabilities. For example, they also think that this, the mechanics of the lower of test is more closely aligned to the requirements in IS 71, and therefore they support that the cross-reference there in IFRS 9 has a meaning, and the meaning is to apply the lower of test. We have conducted outreach. We sent requests to the securities regulators, members of IFAS, large accounting firms, and the majority of the responses received explain us their experiences when entities apply IS 39 and not IFRS 9, because there are not that many entities that have adopted the hedging requirements in IFRS 9 yet. The majority of the responses received stated that view 2 is the approach that they have most commonly observed. Also, some responses received state that these transactions are not very common in their jurisdictions. The responses that we have from this outreach do not reveal significant divergence in practice. However, there are a couple of instances where, for example, two responses identify views that are different from either of the views received in the submission. Other two respondents stated that clarification is needed in both standards, IFRS 9 and IS 39. What we have done in our analysis is try to understand how similarly should be understood. So IFRS 9 says that hedges of a net investment should be accounted for similarly to cash flow hedges. So what does similarly extend to? Does it, is it limited to the recognition of the effective portion in OCI, or it goes beyond and it also requires that the mechanics of the lower of test are being applied to determine that effective portion? And to try to find out the answer, we undertook three different paths. The first one, we considered the nature of the risk being hedged. And IFRS 9 states that foreign currency risk affects both cash flows and fair value of the hedge items. It has a dual character, and we understand that view one is closer aligned to a fair value type of hedge accounting. View two would be cash flow hedge accounting. And following this path then, because of the dual character of foreign currency and risk, then we could not conclude on how to understand similarly in that case. So we continued the analysis and we compared the mechanics of both views with the principles in IAS 21. And by doing this then, we noted that the mechanics of view two, the mechanics of the lower of test, would respect the requirements in IAS 21 not to recycle translation on foreign operations before those are disposed of. So in that specific path, then we concluded that view two, the lower of test, would be much more closely aligned to the requirements in IAS 21 than view one. And we also analyzed the rationale behind the lower of test. And by analyzing that rationale, then we think that the lower of test was not necessarily only thought of forecast transactions. Of course, it might have been only primarily thought for these type of transactions, but that doesn't mean that it could be applied to other transactions when the goal is share. So in the case of forecast transactions, what we want to do is to avoid the recognition of gains and losses on the hedge item because it is not appropriate because this item does not exist yet. In the case of net investment hedges, the application of the lower of test would allow us or would permit us to be closer to the requirements in IAS 21. We would respect the requirements in IAS 21 because we would not be recycling foreign exchange differences from OCI to P&L prior to the disposal of the foreign operation. And this is why we have concluded that similarly should be understood to extend to applying the mechanics of the lower of test when accounting for net investment hedges when determining that effective portion of the gains and losses arising from those hedging instruments. We understand then that that cross-reference has a purpose in IFRS 9, that our analysis corroborates this purpose. And based on this analysis, based on the responses of the outreach received, we conclude that we recommend that the Interpretations Committee doesn't need to take this issue onto its agenda. And we have in Appendix A of the paper a draft of the tentative agenda decision. So the questions that we have for the committee after paragraph 64 of the paper is, first of all, does the committee agree with the staff analysis and recommendation? And the second question, if you do that, then what are your comments on the agenda drafting that we have in Appendix A of the paper? Thank you.
Comments? Bruce?
Thanks, Wayne. Once again, when we looked at the application of this, obviously we looked at what we're doing at IAS 39 at the moment, so obviously not applying IFRS 9 yet. And to be very honest with you, when I mentioned view one to a number of people, they hadn't even considered it. All our experience has been that everybody's applying it in terms of view two. And that's pretty much the experience we've had. And having been through the paper, I think it supports that. I think it when you talk about similarly, I think the spirit of cash flow hedging is there. I think it's achieving what we want to do in that. I don't like the idea that we're ending up with that P&L recycling before we sell it. I think that's out of the spirit of what we can see IAS 21 now, IFRS 9 at all. I still now are trying to achieve. The only comment I had on the agenda decision was just whether or not, and this is, I don't really know the answer because I haven't thought through it, but whether or not this is an agenda decision or this could be something that may need to be clarified. And the only reason I say that is I can see the argument from the literature where somebody could get to a stage of seeing view one. As I said, I hadn't seen it in practice, but But having been through the literature, I almost kind of could see the argument in terms of it. So I'm wondering if we're wanting to avoid people potentially reading it that way, maybe a minor amendment or something just to clarify it could resolve this issue before IFRS 9 hits, and whether that's done through an amendment to well, whichever way you decide to do it, or an interpretation, whatever it may be, just something to clarify it.
Pei Long?
In general, I agree with the staff analysis. Given the cross-reference from IFRS 9, 6.5, 13, and 11, it is hard to justify the law of test is not pliable to the net investment hedges. Furthermore, applying the law of test will prevent any foreign exchange gain or loss from the net investment being recognized in P&L prior to its disposal. So as a minor concern that about the staff rationale that the application of law of test is more closely aligned with the requirements and principles of IAS 21. IAS 21 mainly states the requirement of for the recognition of exchange difference relating to foreign operations through OCI, but not for hedge accounting. The hedge, the accounting for hedge accounting should follow mainly follow IAS 39.
Young Su?
I really enjoyed reading the staff paper. I really enjoyed that. All the thoughts and the analysis was great. But you know, I am not quite convinced by one of the arguments, which is that you know the lower of test should be applied to the net investment because cash flow hedge could be applied not only to the forecast transaction but also to the non-forecast transaction. So I agree with the thing, you know, the cash flows, the hedge can be applied to both the forecast and non-forecast transactions, but I'm not quite sure whether the lower of test can be applied to non-transaction also. So I want to separate out two things, lower of test and cash flow hedge. Lower of test is designed only for the forecast transaction, not for the non-forecast transaction. But here, that investment of the foreign operation is a non-forecast transaction, where there we can see all the real assets and liabilities.
Yeah, but what we found is that by applying the lower of test in the case of net investment hedges, we were achieving that the outcome was closely aligned to IAS 21. So
that is what I want to also say. IAS 21 specifically says that the hedge accounting is not the realm of IAS 21. IAS 21 scoped out the hedge accounting, and it moved to all the arguments of the processes of the hedge accounting to IAS 39, as Fei Long said, which is IFRS 9 nowadays. So I'm not quite sure whether we have to apply. Think of IAS 21 in this context.
Yeah, actually, the accounting for net investment hedges, paragraph 6.5.14, also refers to IAS 21 when saying that on disposal, then the accumulated balance should be reclassified and recycled from OCI to profit and loss. So there is also a requirement in IFRS 9 pointing out to IAS 21, paragraph 48 of IAS 21, requiring the same. So this reinforces. Again, that should be the case.
I thought 21 was sort of saying the mechanics are somewhere else.
You see, a couple of points which I would like to say. Even if you have a cash flow hedge of a recognized item, the lower of test doesn't kick in, but it's still very much there. You cannot avoid the lower of test. It is a requirement of a cash flow hedging, even if you, let's say, have a variable rate bond that you're doing a cash flow hedge. There, the mechanics doesn't make it that apparent, but I would say it's very much there. We cannot avoid the lower of test.
Actually, that is not what I'm really sure of. Lower of test, is that the real requirement of the cash flow hedge?
I think that way the standard is absolutely clear. When you're in a cash flow hedge, the lower of test applies.
Yeah.
Now, the problem comes in, which I fully agree, is that this, we say it's similar to a cash flow hedge in a net investment hedge. And that's why the issue comes in, is that what does that similarity mean? And I think, as Mariella pointed, is that if we look at applying the lower of test outs here, and Bruce also referred to that, it achieves the same goal of what was intended for the lower of test when you have a forecast transaction, that you do not end up recognizing something that shouldn't have been recognized under the standard. Now, hedging does not override the accounting requirements. It's an exception. So it gives you a different mechanics. But we still try and keep through the test what the original objectives of IAS 21 were. And the 21 objectives is you don't recycle until you sell the thing. So I think the objective, what we are trying to get to, is that that still remains and is attained when you look at the lower of test.
Let's get some other people in here. Andrew?
Thanks. Yeah, I very much agree with the analysis, and I think there's sufficient guidance, so I agree we should proceed to a tentative agenda decision. On the draft decision itself, I've already sent in some small drafting suggestions. I thought we could just be a bit more explicit that application of the lower of test is the predominant practice under IAS 39, and that for the reasons given, we would not expect diversity to emerge when IFRS 9 is applied more widely. So I've suggested some words to that effect.
Reinhardt?
I also agree with the staff analysis for the reasons stated in the paper. The one key comment I had with respect to the drafting of the tentative agenda decision is that the words in the first bullet under where it says the Interpretations Committee observed that, it could be read to say that you must apply all the requirements for cash flow hedges to accounting for net investments. The cash flow hedge requirements don't apply exactly because they focus on change in fair value, change in present value. Here, and that I think is perhaps why IFRS 9 talks about similar to cash flow hedge. Okay. And so I think that concept should flow through the agenda decision.
Okay. Martin?
I agree with the staff, and I'm able to follow the derivation and the solution. With regard to Bruce's comments, I mean, to consider to put it into an annual improvement or something like this to be clearer on that, I have some doubts due to the fact, I mean, we have had a long discussions on IFRS 11, which to make them clearer and more explicit and so on, and we end up into a non-interpretation. And I guess also in this case, this would be then the sufficient way, because if you have a very, very close look to the standard as the staff has done, it's obvious.
Can I just address a point, Bruce? I appreciate where you're coming from, but just a thought, because I don't think you were saying we have to go that, but it's something to consider. There is the cross-reference which has been introduced in IFRS 9, which makes that. And then coupled with that, as Martin is saying, with this tentative agenda decision, if everybody agrees, I think that should give us clarity, or we could look later through an annual improvement or anything. But I think the combination should be enough, personally. But that's the question.
Just to respond, my only comment is that the word similar is not an absolute term. And my only concern was that if you're reading the word similar, we're all coming to that, but we're saying what we think it's enough to say. There's some non-authoritative guidance. And I guess my only concern was the moment you use a non-absolute term, like similar, you're opening the door to somebody having a different interpretation. But I mean, if the committee wants an idea, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Tony?
Yeah, I agree with the staff's conclusion. I think the guidance is perfectly clear, and it gets to a sensible answer. So I agree that we should go with an agenda decision to confirm what we think the answer is. I guess I'm not sure about referring to IAS 39 at all, since it's there is specific guidance in IFRS 9 that tells you what to do. Quite often, I think in the most part, net investment hedges aren't actually achieved using a derivative. Most of the time they're achieved using a non-derivative, so typically the question doesn't come up, but where it does, my sense is that there is some diversity, and so I just wonder whether there's a need to talk about what happens under IFRS 9, under IAS 39, but otherwise I'm comfortable with where the staff's got to.
Bob?
Yeah, Mike, I was going to make the same comment as Tony. This doesn't come up a whole lot because usually what we see is you're matching spot, you're measuring spot to spot and matching notionals, and so you don't really, you don't have any ineffectiveness. But in the cases when it's come up, you know, I do agree with the staff analysis. I do support the decision, that you have to apply the lower of test. I would eliminate that paragraph that's after the interpretation committee noted the following. It's the first bullet. I would, because there is no evidence of significant diversity, but I don't think we have enough evidence that there isn't. And I agree. I don't think we should be referring to, I mean, this was an IFRS 9 question. Yeah. I would have preferred to replace that with that we think the guidance of IFRS 9 with IS 21 and you would be inconsistent with the recycling if you were to follow view 1, that was the primary basis.
John?
Yeah, I agree with the staff analysis. I think it's pretty clear that the lower up test does apply here. I don't see anything conceptually any conceptual problem with it applying. I think that to not apply the lower up test would mean recycling translation gains on the net investment. Just because you'd hedged it, I don't think that's compliant with IAS 21, so I think there's actually consistency between IFRS 9 and IAS 21. And I don't think the fact that it's recognized, that the net investment is recognized, is actually relevant to whether you recite, whether you you apply the lower up test or not. So I agree with the staff, and I think I don't see any need for an amendment. I think it's quite clear in the standard. So I'd go with an agenda decision.
Carl?
I also agree with staff's conclusion. I think it was a pretty good analysis. I did like the mathematical examples. I think it should be a standard for most of the papers.
That's dangerous, Carl. Be careful what you ask for.
Most of the papers. I just have some conceptual doubt in paragraph 55A of your paper. Is it a personal view seen commonly in practice or not? Cash flow head accounting can also be applied to headed items that already exist, and
it's a fact.
I'm seeing a lot of discussions in practice if it's permitted or not. Is it commonly seen?
Variable rate loans, cash flow hedges, we are sitting in a jurisdiction.
I'm seeing some people arguing that it's really not acceptable.
Yeah, we are sitting in a part of jurisdiction which uses it extensively because their asset books are variable rates, Carl. So yes.
But only variable?
Well, you need to have cash flow variability. That's why we have used that as a common example.
Thank you.
Just a quick point regarding 39. Happy to, because the question is IFRS 9. But just, I think it will come up, would I say, because we do stay in the standard that we didn't make any changes when we moved to IFRS 9, Jenny. So I'm happy to leave it out. Just I thought I would make that point. So I think that achieves it. We can achieve whatever without talking to 39.
Let me get to that point in a minute here. Bonnie, did you have anything to add on this one?
I agreed with the staff's conclusion. I think I had a similar question to Bruce's as to, since IS 39 is the current applicable guidance, A, why wouldn't we include it in the agenda decision as far as clarifying that that is what IS 39 says? But also, do we need to clarify IS 39 in the interim before IFRS 9 is applicable, just to ensure that there is no misunderstanding that this is the right way to apply it? I think it seems to me that IFRS 9 is a bit more clear, even though in the basis of conclusions, I think it says that there was no intent to change what the actual accounting was between IS 39 and IFRS 9.
That was my point.
Okay. I hear general consensus of support for the staff recommendation in the agenda decision, but a fair amount of back and forth around the "in addition, the committee noted" paragraph.
Yeah.
Roughly evenly decided between those, or divided between those who would take it out completely and those who would modify it. to one degree or another.
And those who would like to keep the reference to 39 in, and those who think it should be taken out.
This is not typically my area. So having the tie-in to 39, I found useful for my understanding of the issue. And I am a babe in the woods when it comes to hedge accounting. Who would object to leaving the reference to 39 in? One. Okay. Let's go with it on that basis then.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Nothing else? No. Thank you.